Okay, page 147, Perek Nun Gimel, chapter 53, which concludes the first book of Tanya. Now, Vine. So last week we discussed, or 2 weeks ago was, we got into this really complicated business about the unfolding of the various worlds. And he mentioned this issue of the greatest manifestation of the Shekhinah is, you know, you can turn off, just turn the knob to the left. He asked the obvious question. If God is all over, then how do you have some places where there is Hashuas HaShekhinah, greater Hashuas HaShekhinah, less Hashuas HaShekhinah? What does that mean? How do we understand that? So he used the body and the neshama as an example that throughout the body the neshama is found, and yet we know that there's a greater manifestation of the neshama in the mayach. Right? So it's not at all a contradiction that you have a greater manifestation of something in one place, even though it's found all over. So too, the Rebbeinu Shlaim is everywhere. And despite that, nonetheless, his Shekhinah, meaning there is a greater presence, a greater accessibility in Yerushalayim, on the Temple Mount, in the Beis HaMikdash, and finally in the Kodesh HaKodesh. Now it's going to come down to, and really we're going to go full circle and come back to, remember at the beginning of the Sefer we talked about the Beinoni and the Tzaddik, that the Tzaddik is able to overcome his and transform his personality totally so that he doesn't even desire evil. He doesn't have any evil thoughts. That was the Tzaddik. The Beinoni is able to control his, what he called the Levushim, but he hasn't transformed himself. The person is the same person. So now we're going to see it all come together. Perek Nun Gimel. It's on, it would be the equivalent of page 147. When the first Beis HaMikdash stood, we know that the covenant of the Ark had in it the tablets, the original tablets, not the first ones. Right, and actually had the broken first ones as well, but the second ones were whole, and they were miraculous. They were miraculous in that they had, when you read the Luchos, it says Mizeh u'Mizehim Ksuvim, you could read them from either direction. Now, we know that when you try doing that, if you would have something where the words are chiseled through it, you would read backwards from the other side, right? Well, the Luchos didn't do that. What's more, we know that the right side of the Luchos have the mitzvahs bein Adam l'makom, the mitzvahs between man and God. The left side of the Luchos have the mitzvahs between man and man. So when you read it from the other side, you would imagine that it would be the same way. No, because the opposite side of the tablet that had the mitzvahs between man and man has the mitzvahs between man and God. So this miraculous existence has, in essence, each one of the tablets had all 10 of the luchas on it, and you were able to read completely through. What's more, the Chazal tell us that the mem and the samach, which are words that have complete cutouts, the middle piece hung there miraculously. Now, just as an aside, because it's cool, the Bavruv used to repeat that the Arugas HaBosim said, we know that Hashem doesn't make miracles for nothing. Why did he make this particular miracle that each one of the luchas has on it ultimately the mitzvahs between man and man and the mitzvahs between man and God? So he said, because times would come where, depending on the winds of society, there would be people who would say, look, I'm not a people person, I'm a God person, okay? I'm terrible with people. I happen to enjoy stealing people's money. Bank robbing is just something as I do as a, you know, as a sideline. But between man and God, I'm very, very religious. I'm super religious. Conversely, you have people who say, look, I'm a wonderful person between man and man. This God thing is not for me. So the Rebbeinu Shlaim made a miracle where they're inseparable. You can't divide between the mitzvahs bein adam l'malchus and the mitzvahs bein adam l'chaver. You gotta, it's a whole package through and through, and you can't pick and choose between those different things. But now we're gonna see that this miraculous existence that took place in the first Bais HaMikdash has awesome meaning to us. Okay, so we know that in the first Bais HaMikdash, you had the Aron, you had the Ark, Valuchos, and the tablets. And they were in Bebeis Kodshi Kedoshim, and they were in the Holy of Holies. And we know that there in the first Bais HaMikdash, Ha'isah Shechina, Shi Malchus Datzilus, the Divine Presence, which, as he defined last week, was the Malchus, the last parak described that the Malchus of each one of the worlds allows the next world to come into existence. That's the bridge between Atzilus and then Bria and then Yetzira and Asiya and so on. There's one place on earth that's not of this world. It is actually from Malchus of the highest world. And as a result, the rules of nature don't apply to it. And we know that Chazal tell us that there were 10 daily miracles that took place in the Holy of Holies because it was not a place that was subject to nature. That's what he's saying here. Shubchinis gili orient seif baruch hu, because it is of that world of Atzilus, there is a tremendous revelation of the infinite energy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shair Hashem, it dwells there. Umiluveshes ba'aseres hadibres. Why is it more there? He says an incredible thing. Because it is contained in the Ten Commandments. Okay, the Ten Commandments are that which is inscribed on the Luchos. Now, what is different about the Ten Commandments than the rest of Torah? Isn't it all from God? Why do we have some greater purpose or deference given to the Ten Commandments? See, he says, because the Aseres HaDibros are b'yeser seis v'yeser oz b'gilui rav v'otzum. The Ten Commandments have a far greater revelation. Yosim migiluya beicholis kodesh kadoshim shalamai the b'lamas l'yonim. Far greater revelation than exists in any. Remember last week he said that in each one of the chambers of the Holy of Holies, each world has its Holy of Holies. Ki Aseres HaDibros hen klolos ha'Torah kula. And there are Svarim that go through and describe how this is. The Ten Commandments are a micro version, a concentrated version of all of Torah, meaning that one can trace back all 613 mitzvahs to their spot in the Ten Commandments. Now, how is it that the Ten Commandments are of such awesome proportion compared to the rest of the world? Because, as we discussed earlier, the very first emanation that comes from Hashem is Chachma. And the Chachma meaning wisdom, right? That's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu first emanates. That being the case, the very first emanation of Chachma is contained in the Ten Commandments. So therefore, it is absolute pure godliness that has not gone through the process of the rest of the world. It is dila'ela la'ela me'al medizgalya. It is far higher, far holier, far greater than the revealed world. And as a result, ukedei l'chokekan beluchas avanim gashmiyim, in order for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to engrave those sublime words in physical stone, the impossible needs to happen. You're taking something which is totally beyond this world and trying to engrave them onto physical stone, which is matters of this world. Is so everything else in the world goes step after step after step into this world. The Ten Commandments didn't do that. The Ten Commandments don't descend from step to step. As everything else in the world goes step after step into this physical world. Because after all, this physical world, it operates in nature. Everything in this world operates in a natural form. But the pasuk testifies about the tablets, they were ma'aseh l'kimeima. They were made up of godly stuff. And the pasuk testifies, not only were the tablets made of godly stuff, the engraving, the wording was made up of godly stuff. What it's coming to tell us is they don't belong in this world, and they are sitting in the Holy of Holies in this physical world. So you have something completely out of place going on in the fact that the luchais that are michtav elikim and the tablets which are made up of stuff of godliness are sitting in a physical place. How does that work? Right? So he says, which we discussed last week, is an emanation from the Shekhinah component of Hechal Kodesh Kedoshim Da'asiyah, which is the result of the Holy of Holies of this world, which is the world of Asiyah. That's where this world comes from. Shemimena Nimshach Or V'Chiyas La'Elam Asiyah. Everything that exists in our world is sustained on an ongoing basis by the Holy of Holies of this world, with the exception of the tablets. They're not of this world. Okay? Shigam Olam Hazeh B'chololoi. The truth of the matter is that this world in its physical form is only other B'chinas Chochmei Lo Datzilus. It is really begun in this, what we mentioned before, in the highest wisdom of the highest world, Shu Klolos HaTorah, which is comprised of, again, so remember, we have to go back again because he's touching upon something he introduced last week. Remember, he discussed last week that Hashem is trying to create a container, something that's going to shield his presence. But the problem we discussed was that whatever shield he's going to create is also going to be made out of the same stuff. So it's an impossible thing. So what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did was he shields his energy in something which is made up of something higher than anything that exists in the world. Well, what's higher than any emanation? Torah. Torah becomes the container, and Torah becomes the shield. So this Torah that we live with, that we constantly dabble with, that we talk about, is the container. That's why it says, Yistaka b'raisa b'ram, Hashem looks in the Torah and creates the world. The Torah becomes the shield, the helam, the concealer that allows the world to continue to exist. Okay? But the Torah goes through this process. It first starts out and it goes through the compromise of Malchus Tatzilus, Udebriya, and of the world of Briya. But the Luchas themselves and the Ten Commandments remain bound up, unified with Hashem. And hen ani kreis b'shem shchina hashoyer b'kod shekadoshim devayis rishon. And they remained in the Holy of Holies of the First Temple. Aidei slabshusa b'yud dibrais, because they were contained, we're on now page 148, in the Ten Commandments. Hachakukas b'lucha shabaran, that were engraved on the tablets that were in the Ark, b'neis. Miraculously, and they were referred to throughout the holy works as the work of Elikim Chaim. And he makes a distinction here between Ma'is Elikim and Ma'is Elikim Chaim. Okay, the actions of the living God is a greater presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu than is just Ma'is Elikim. Everything else in the world is Ma'is Elikim. But the luchais are ma'aseh l'kim chayim. And in brackets, he throws in some Kabbalistic words, hu alma diskasi, that's the concealed world, ha-mekanin ba'ilam abriya, k'nei d'liye d'chein, so count us out. Now, so that's what took place in the first Bais HaMikdash. In the first Bais HaMikdash, Chazal tell us there were 10 daily miracles, 10 supernatural events. In fact, when they measured in the Holy of Holies, the Ark didn't occupy any space. They mentioned 10 Amos from every dimension, from the Oren to each of the walls, and the whole room was only 20 Amos. Even in Bub of math, that doesn't add up. Now, However, Ubebayis Sheni, what took place in the second temple? We know that in the second temple, there did not exist the ark or the tablets, right? The Chazal tell us that they were nignaz. They're somewhere beneath that mountain. Amr Chazal, and about the second temple, Chazal say, it did not have the Shechina. Now, that doesn't mean that it was on the same level as Atlantic City, Chas v'Shalom. Okay? Pirish. Madregas Shechina Shahis Shoyre Bebayis Rishon. The level of Shechina that existed in the first temple, which was Shaloi Kederech Hishtal Shalis Olamas, which we were just describing earlier, that didn't go through the normal breakdown of the chain of the worlds. Elisha Bebayis Sheini Hais Shoyre Kederech Hishtal Shalis Vishlapshus. Malchus Datsilis, but Malchus Debriya, Udebriya, but Malchus Diyatsiru, Diyatsiru, Be'echakal Jigadosh and Dasiya. That went through the normal process, meaning the energy flowed through Chachma of Atsilis, through all the Midas down to Malchus. Malchus acted as a bridge that then led to the next major breakdown, which was the creation of Chachma within Bria, that went through all the Midas of Bria and broke down further and so on until it came to the lowest level of Asiya. But the Kodesh Kedoshim Dasiya, nonetheless, the Holy of Holies of this physical world, Hayim Islabish, Kodesh Kedoshim Shebebeis HaMikdash, meaning everything else flowed after the Holy of Holies of Asiya. The Holy of Holies of Asiya was still on a higher level than everything else in the world. Okay, so it's one step above. When the first temple existed, it was four worlds above the rest of the world. But when it comes to the second temple, then it's just one step above the rest of the world. Which is Malchus the Yetzirah. That was, there still was an emanation of Malchus of Yetzirah. Hamalavash is B, Kodesh Kedoshim Dasiya, which is enclosed and embodied in the Holy of Holies of Asiya. Now, most of this seems to be completely far-fetched and totally out there and really not relevant. But hold it. Because it still had this step above, therefore for this reason no person was allowed to go in there other than the Kohen Gadol on the Holy of Holies, on Yom Kippur, the holiest day of the year. Now, that's gone too. Right? We don't have the Beis HaMikdash. So we don't even have a Holy of Holies of Asiya. So what are we left with now? Where is the Shechina now? Right? Where's the presence of the Shechina? Says the Baal Tanya, and this is the summary and really the climax and the pinnacle of the whole Sefer. Umishacharev Beis HaMikdash, since the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, Ein lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu ba'olamai, the only place that Hashem has in His world is El Adal Damish Al Halacha Bilvad, are the four cubits where a Jew sits and studies Torah and Halacha in particular. Ve'afilu echad sheyoshev ba'isik b'Torah, and even a single Jew, single individual, who sits and studies Torah, Shechina imai, the Shechina is with him. K'di'isa b'brachas perikama, as is written explicitly in the Gemara, we cannot take for granted what is going on when a Jew studies Torah. God once had an amazing presence in this world, and then that was taken. And now, then he added another Kodesh Kodashim, and that was taken again by his own choice. Now, where is his presence? It's when a Jew studies Torah, even a single Jew alone. That brings the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the world. We should understand that it is that we shouldn't expect 10 daily miracles. We shouldn't expect us not to occupy physical space and so on, although clearly there were Jews who had that kind of power in their study of Torah that they could be in two places at once. I've shared with you the documented stories of Rabbi Eliezer Ashkenazi, Rabbi Eliezer Reif, the Baal Ma'aseh Hashem, who was one of these people who was in four continents in no time at all, lived, 400 or 500 years ago. He traveled from Mitzrayim to Krakow. And this was not United Airlines. This was carpet travel. Reb Shimon Seifer, he ended up being, his final rabbinic position was in Krakow. Reb Shimon Seifer was the Chassam Seifer's youngest child. Reb Shimon Chasida, he was known as. You just look up, there's photos of him. He's a magnificent, magnificent person. He was totally out of place, okay? The Chassam Seifer lived in Oberland. Oberland was Yeki country. And here he came to Krakow, which was Hasidish country, okay? The Divrei Chaim was, at his time, in his prime, okay? And Krakow was filled of sons of Chassidim and all kinds of Tver Shleim, Radomsky Chassidim, and so on. And here he's asked to become Rav in Krakow. So before he takes the position, Reb Shimon said he wants to go visit the cemetery to visit the graves of the other tzaddikim, the previous Rabbanim in Krakow, to see, to ask their rishus. Now, Reb Elazar Ashkenazi's grave, he was buried in the old cemetery in Krakow. His grave had not been seen for several hundred years. They buried him, put up a stone. The stone was recorded in the pinkus of the Chevra Kedisha. But his grave disappeared, which was totally consistent with his life. It was spooky upon spooky upon spooky. When they came to the gates of the cemetery, Reb Shimon Seifer said to the Chevra, "I want to go in alone." So he went into the cemetery and he davened at the graves of the Rabbanim of Krakow. He came out, his face was, clearly he had been weeping. And he said that he had a tremendous hisairus, davening at these graves. Now, he was going to take the position. But nothing compared to what he felt when he visited the grave of Rabbi Eliezer Ashkenazi. And they were suspicious. So they said, "Did you see his gravestone?" He said, "Of course." They said, "Do you remember what it said?" And they said, "Yeah, of course." He repeated to them verbatim the Nusach HaMatzeva. And they went and checked in the pinkus, and it was accurate. And that's how they knew that he was appropriate for the job. So there was this level of Shechina Shaira is something that great people have access to. People, the Maranaim records that the Baal Shem Tov was able to see when he learned, he was able to see from one end of the world to the other. It's not a storybook. He writes it. This is something that he experienced himself. Now, so we're here. So what is this about learning halacha that brings the Shechina into such a level that the Shechina Shechina Shoyro, that the Shechina only dwells in such a place? So he explains. Kitar yag mitzvah satoyro, because the 600, we're on the line that starts with the word va'asiyah. Because the 613 mitzvahs of the Torah, Ruban kekulam, hen mitzvahs ma'asiyas. Analyze Judaism. What's it all about? What's the vast majority of the 613 mitzvahs? The vast majority of them are action. I always have this, but then I teach the high school girls, and I say to them, if you were to meet somebody from an Eastern religion who never experienced a Jew, go ahead, start naming. Tell me a little bit about this religion. What do you do? Ruban kikulam, the vast majority of them, are very physical mitzvahs. We sit and cram matzah down our mouths on Pesach night. It's very spiritual. Sounds like a very spiritual exercise, right? Kiddush on wine. Ruban kikulam, forget about the Beis Hamikdash with its avodah, with the animals and then the kishkes and the blood and it's all mitzvahs ma'asis. What's that about? Vigama Tzluyas B'dibi says, even if you want to take the minority of the mitzvahs that are dependent upon speech, umachshav and thought, kemoi Talmud Torah, for instance, the study of Torah, or benching, v'krishma, and the reading of the Shema u'tfilah and davening, hakaimulon, even those, you're going to want to say those are the spiritual mitzvahs? Nonsense. Hakaimulon dehir alav gedibra dami. The halacha is that thinking is not speaking. And one cannot fulfill the obligation of benching or Shema or davening and even Torah study with thought itself. Until we say the words with our lips. And on halacha we know that moving the lips is considered an action. So basically all of Torah and mitzvahs are action mitzvahs. Why? V'tayring mitzvahs atayri im sheva mitzvahs rabbanan b'gematria keser. Because the 613 mitzvahs of the Torah include in that the 7 rabbinic mitzvahs, you're left with keser. What's a keser? Keser is a crown. Where does a crown sit? A crown sits on top of the head. It's not in the head. What's in the head? What's in the head is wisdom, is chachma. That's the understanding of Torah. What's even higher than the head is the keser, is the crown. Well, what is that? That's got to be something that's higher and deeper than wisdom. Well, what's higher and deeper than wisdom in our experience? That is something called rotzen. That's something which isn't subject to analysis, right? You can't sit and reason with somebody not to like chocolate if they like chocolate, because it's not subject to wisdom. Ratzon is deeper and higher than wisdom, and that when we're dealing with the mitzvahs of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're dealing with Ratzon Hashem, and Ratzon Hashem is higher than the wisdom of Hashem. Okay. So therefore the 613 mitzvahs are the keser, they are the crown of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we're able to access, and more importantly, we're able to bring into this world by our practicing Torah and mitzvahs. Shuratzen Elyon Baruch Hu HaMeluvish B'Chachmosai, it is contained in the wisdom, meaning, what is Torah and mitzvahs, what is Torah all about? Torah is the definition, the explanation, the understanding, the halachas of all the mitzvahs. Hamyuchadais, and they remain unified, Baruch Seif Baruch Hu, B'tachlis HaYichud, they remain unified with Hashem in the most intimate way. V'Hashem B'chachma Yosad Eretz, and Hashem with wisdom, He established this earth, Hu Torah Shebal Peh, that refers specifically to the oral law. The Navka Mechach Melo that comes from the highest wisdom, as we discussed last week, the highest level is that which established Torah Shebal Peh. So, we now have two things going on simultaneously. We have access to Ratzon Hashem in the performance of mitzvahs. We have access to the wisdom of Hashem in our understanding of Torah. But what people fail to appreciate is that when we are studying Torah, we have both. Because in addition to the miracle that we have, that we're able to understand the godly concept when we study Torah, the study of Torah is a mitzvah. Okay. So you have both things going on simultaneously. If a person is verbalizing their limud Torah, Then they're acting on the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, which is Ratzon Hashem. At the same time, if they're understanding what they're saying, then they are accessing the infinite wisdom of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and bringing that into themselves. So both things go on simultaneously. It's not like you could have one without the other. If somehow a person had the understanding of Torah without the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, then you could have the wisdom of Torah without the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Similarly, if a person is somehow learning, let's say, Torah Shebiksav, and they have no understanding of it, they could potentially fulfill the mitzvah of Talmud Torah and yet not really understand what they're saying. Okay? This is what the Zohar said that we brought up two prokem ago. That the highest light that burns on a Jew's head, his shchinta, is the shchina. But it's darach lemishcha. Light, a flame, a fire, requires energy. It requires oil. Okay, what is that? Pirish, that is to say to us Jews, hundreds of years down the line, we're going to be sitting down and want to bring the Shekhinah into this world. Okay, how do we do it? Pirish liislabish bechachma nikrishemen. True, the chachma is called the oil. Mishchas kodesh. But the good deeds, hentariag mitzvahs, that refers to the 613 mitzvahs that are drawn from the Hashem's wisdom. Now we got to put together all the components. The light is the Torah. The shemen, he said, the shemen mishchas kodesh is the chachma, right? Which are the avdin tov, and they are the that which Torah is comprised of, the 613 mitzvahs. You still don't have something that can light up the room because you're missing a wick. You need a wick. Otherwise, you still there? Without the wick, you can have oil and you can have a flame. But there's nothing for the flame to grasp, to hold on to, unless you have a wick. What's the wick? So the Zang isn't stark. Okay. So the line that begins is Kedelecha is Arashchina Bepsila, Hi Nefesh Achiyunis. This is our lovely animal soul. The wick is our animal soul. Shebeguf. Anikras psila, it is called the wick. Al derech moshul, in the way of a parable. Ki kemoi shebener agashmi, just like in a physical lantern. Har meir ayde kloya in isreifas apsila. Let's really analyze what's going on. When do you have illumination? The only way you have illumination is when the wick is consumed. The wick, again, this doesn't work with the new fiber optic, nothing is consumed there. But in a normal wick, you want to light up the room, the wick is going to get burnt. And we need to understand that it is the very consuming of the wick that makes the flame burn, that allows the illumination to take place. Al yidei kiloyon misreifas apsila, it is through the destruction, the burning of the wick, hanapechas leish, which is transformed into fire, kach ur ha-shechina sheryal nefesh olikis, so too can the light of the shechina dwell on the godly soul only. Al yidei kiloyon ha-nefesh ha-bahamis, if simultaneously there is consuming of the animal soul going on, its transformation from darkness into light, from bitterness into sweetness. This happens by tzaddikim that are able to transform their lives. What about the rest of us? There's one form of transformation, of destruction, that goes on by tzaddikim, who are literally able to take their bodies and transform them into godly beings. That's unbelievable. That's a great amount of light. Even if we're not talking about that, we're talking about the rest of us who remain the same animalistic drives that we came into life with. But we're able to control them on the levels of the levusha, meaning in thought, in speech, and in deed. So there, too, there is a destruction going on. There's a transformation going on. there is a destruction, a consuming of the garments, of the expressions. And the transformation from the denseness of the dark side, Lo'er Hashem, that we transform it into the light of Hashem, Ein Tzoy Baruch Hu, infinite, Hamaluvish, Umiyuchid, who is, what's the opposite? So the you have Machshava, Dibra Maisa, of the dark side. There's thought, speech, and deed of destructive powers. And we take them, Umiyuchid, B'machshava, Dibra Maisa, Tayyag, Mitzvah, Zetayra, and we take them, and we use it for thought, speech, and deed of mitzvahs. And this is referring to us, Halavai Bebeninim, Ki Ayidei Sapchus HaNefesh HaBahamis HaBomiklipas Noiga. Because when we transform the animal soul that comes from the Klipa, Mechshech L'Noira, from darkness into light, and from bitterness into sweetness, and so on, Nas Sibchines Halois Ma'anukvin, then we arouse the heavenly presence, L'Hamshech Arashchina, to bring into this world the light of the Shechina, that is a Shechina. What does a Shechina mean? A Shechina means a revelation, an actual presence of Hashem. Because then we combine the wick and the oil and the light, and we bring all three into existence, al nafsha the kiss, combined with our godly soul, shebemeichin, that's in our head, shebereishai, meaning that the greatest combination that we can have is the fusion of Torah and mitzvahs in bringing the light and the presence of the Shechina. And with this, we understand very well that which it says, Ki Hashem Alekecha, that Hashem your God, Eish Oichlahu, he is a consuming fire. It's not just about him being an illuminating fire, but he is a consuming fire. Where will the presence of Hashem be found? The presence of Hashem will be found in a person who struggles, in a person who is overcoming the appetites that want him to be drawn into the worlds of darkness, into the thought which is inappropriate, into the speech which is inappropriate, into action which is inappropriate, and nonetheless the person overcomes that and acts in a godly way, then there's transformation, then there's consumption taking on. Then there's the wick being consumed by the fire, and then there's the presence, the Shechina of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, K'mesh Echta B'makamacha, as we will write elsewhere. Nishlam Chelik Rishin Be'ezes Hashem Yisborach V'Yis'ala. We finished the first part of Tanya with the help of Hashem on the yard site of the Baal Tanya as divine orchestration. So we might go back here and revisit some of the points next week. Everybody's on vacation, so we are. Yep,